Hello everybody and welcome to May's audio recording for the Pet Business in a Circle. My name's Dom Hodgson, I'm your host today and every day. And in today's call I'm going to be talking about goals and mindset, because I've been doing quite a bit of reading lately and I feel like I have, without wanting to sound all woo, I feel like I've leveled up a bit with my own mindset over the last 6 months or so, which is something that got shared at the boot camp. And so I thought I would share some of the goal setting. We're going to be doing more time management and goal setting stuff ourselves within the PBIC. We've got a webinar coming up for that, getting shit done, basically, to help you to get more shit done in your business, because we're getting lots of great information. I hope you agree, you're getting lots of great information, and many of us are taking action, but not enough of us are, and we need to be taking more action, because the more stuff that we do, the more success we will have, believe it or not. This was nicely demonstrated the other night when Phil Houston put a post in the PBIC discussion group stating that he had written 3 emails to his list of ex-customers. He didn't write any stories, he didn't have any call to action that wasn't funny in his opinion, or have any landing page links or anything like that. It just mentioned the service to the people, and from those 3 emails he got 5 bookings that he wouldn't have had before. Now, as I said to Phil at the time, this wasn't particularly because of the emails, although I am a huge fan of email marketing, as you know, but it was more to do with the follow-up. It was the fact that Phil was following up with his clients in a way that he hadn't done before. And we all know that follow-up works. Or you should know now that follow-up works. Phil certainly knows it now, and as he said, you know, he knows that email works, but it's nice to do it and see that it works. I would wager the same result would have happened if he'd sent 3 postcards or done 3 texts or 3 phone calls. And I would encourage him to, and everybody else, to try different methods of following up with your clients as well. Welcome to all of the new members we've had in the last month. The last intake, we took in a bunch of new people. So welcome to you guys. Please throw yourself into this inner circle. Please try everything that I tell you to try. Because ultimately, as I've said, the more you try, the more money you will make. We should be getting, God willing, we should be getting a steady stream of people dropping into the inner circle now. Coming into the inner circle. Because of the direct mail campaigns that I'm running. Just to fill you in, I'm basically running some campaigns where people buy the free book offer and then they'll get some direct mail from me, and then they'll get some more direct mail with an offer to join the inner circle. As soon as I sort of get that tweaked and firing, we should be, even though officially the inner circle will just open every sort of 3 or 4 months, or less than that, depending if I want to change it. But that'll be the official view, but there'll still be people coming in who are at different stages of the customer journey, something else that we learned all about at the weekend. And incidentally, if you, if you have a friend who is, they're really serious about joining, you know, I don't mean somebody who's just talking the fucking talk, I mean they're serious about joining, maybe hopefully they've bought Walk Yourself Wealthy and they like that, or it's just someone who you know, personally know very, very well, who's mad keen on marketing, who's mad keen on their business and they want to know about marketing, you know, refer them in, and then I'll, you know, if they join, then, you know, I'll waive your fee for a month as a thank you, you know, I don't mind doing that. Because it helps me to grow the inner circle, doesn't it? You know, and as we know, boys and girls, the best customers that we'll ever sell to, the easiest people to sell to, are our current customers, and the next easiest people to sell to are people referred to us by our current customers. And you are my current customers and clients, so the referrals that you make should be pretty good clients for me too. Well done to Jennifer, who won the PBIC boot competition last month. The question was, what was the tagline when the iPod even first came out? And it was 1,000 songs in your pocket. So Jennifer won a copy of Inside Steve's Brain, which is an excellent book I would recommend you all read. So We come this week on the back of the Poodle to Pitbull Dog Walkers Pet Business Bootcamp. And if you missed it, then trust me, you really missed out because it was absolutely amazing. That's not just my words. See some of the testimonials and the videos that Alex is putting together now. It was generally agreed by the people who were there that it topped last year's, which is difficult to imagine, I know, because last year's was so fucking amazing as well. But it really was outstanding. Obviously, if you couldn't afford to go, or if you had family commitments, you've got kids and you couldn't get away, then I completely understand that. No one's expecting you to rearrange your whole life around it. But if you chose not to come to the boot camp, purely because of cost, because not because you couldn't afford it, but because you didn't want to spend the money on it, then trust me, you missed out big style. And if you chose instead to buy a new logo or buy a GoPro or something like that, then you really missed out, and you really need to get your priorities together, because these events are becoming the absolute highlights of the year for people who are attending them. We've got loads of cool stuff planned for next year as well. But they come and they go. The big events, they don't happen very often. The atmosphere seemed to grow over the weekend with this one. It was weird. I was expecting it to be like boom and then a bit of a lull on the Sunday, but it really didn't. It kind of started off really well, continued, and then the Sunday was just an absolute blast from start to finish. That was despite several hours of shenanigans, wedding crashes, trips to the beach, and general, river dances in the foyer. So yeah, fun was had by all. I really enjoyed presenting this time. I wasn't as tired. I tried some different things, which went down really well, I think, with regards to the stuff that I take along to the boot camp now. My own observations for marketing materials that I'm that I have exposure to, and so I brought them along, and a selection of them anyway. So I'm going to be doing that kind of thing more in the future. I really enjoyed niching down into the dog walkers and the groomers as well. Obviously, we'll not forget about Karen and Steph, who and Louise, who do a bit of grooming. But groomers and walkers have a very similar business model, so this was really good for me to go deep into that. And I'll be doing a similar thing in October's boot camp. We'll be going deep diving. I've already started planning it now, believe it or not. I couldn't help myself. I've got my whiteboard is here, which still has last year's boot camp sort of mind map on it, but that one's getting scrubbed. There'll be a new one put on for October, and I'm already starting to sort of chuck ideas into a file. So yeah, if you're a dog trainer, you need to get your ass to October's boot camp. I'll probably put the tickets on sort of pre-sale for you guys next month, so you can get in there. You guys will get priority, and yeah, if we can get similar numbers to what we just got there now, that'll be awesome. What we'll be covering in October's boot camp? Well, we'll be going deep into the product pyramid. I'm still putting it together, obviously, now. We're talking about how to use events and build your own media platforms, so you can capture leads and really catapult yourself above the competition. And talking about online dog training too, how you can exploit the internet and niche down and build a tribe of people who just want to buy from you, because any kind of coach, you should be selling information. You should be leveraging the information that you've got in your head and selling it online. So yeah, that's a good one. And a big lesson from this boot camp was one of action. All right, because there are most people are taking action inside the PBIC, but there are some who aren't yet, or they are, and then they do something that works, and then they don't repeat that as well. And I find this quite difficult to believe, because almost all of you have access to coaching calls with me, or you certainly we do enough Q&As and stuff where you can come and get clarification on what you should be doing. And you all know how powerful my 15-minute coaching call, turbo coaching calls are to set you straight and put you back on track. So why people aren't using the live Q&As more is is baffling, to be honest with you, because you've got the opportunity to ask a question and get clarity so you can start taking action again and moving your business forward. All right, most of you in the group, if you've been here since day one, or even if you've been here since Christmas, say, you know, you really don't need more information. Yeah, you know, you need more doing. You know, I see people in other groups and stuff, and you know, like it baffles me why you would think you need more information. Like you don't. You need to be doing more doing. Yeah, this is why platinum exists. You know, because it's that platinum's for people who want to do more. You know, who have big plans for the business. They're already doing very well. They have money to invest in themselves and their own personal development and in the growth of the business. And that's where you get the extra accountability from. Critiques are a good example. You know, of 80-20 in action. Like if some of you submit a critique and then you make the changes that I tell you to make, well, you've got half the job, you've got 80% of the job done. So there's, you know, putting it up for critique again, you know, and potentially wasting like 2 weeks, because I'm only looking at the critiques like every fortnight now. I'm setting aside specific days to do them. I'm going to get much more tighter with my time management. I am getting much tighter with my time management and setting aside specific days to do specific things like writing, recording, content, seeing to critiques and stuff like that in the group and planning boot camps and stuff. You know, this is how I get so much shit done, is by planning like that. But if I give you a critique, I've fixed 80% of the things. You know, you ain't going to gain a lot more by hanging around for 2 weeks waiting for me to have a look at it again to have a look at the other 20% that, you know, that you might not have changed, or that you might think need fixing. Get it up, get it out there, and get it, you know, get it tested. All right, same with leaflets and anything that we're doing. I've been doing a bit of reading lately. It is a bit of an understatement. I've been reading a lot. I'm probably cracking through about 2 or 3 books a week at the minute. Some personal ones, but mainly businessy. And I've hammered Beth's 8 books account. I have a shelf and a half full of quite old marketing books, actually. And in one of those books, Earl Nightingale, I came across this acre of diamonds analogy that he used from somebody else. And it refers to someone's business, where we're all kind of standing in acres of diamonds. You know, we're all standing in a field that could potentially have acres of diamonds. But what happens is we tend to get distracted by something that somebody else has found in another field. You know, so instead of digging and mining the diamonds that we're standing on, we get pulled across and we get pulled over, or we try another field and then we start again, and we ignore a lot of the opportunities that we have right in front of us, you know. And we're failing to get these diamonds out of the ground because we're wasting time on Facebook, or because we're getting distracted by what other people are doing, you know, bright shiny objects and stuff. So it's really important that hopefully this goal setting that I'm going to talk about will will focus your mind to doing the things that are going to make the biggest difference with your business. All right. So just before we get into that, I want to remind everybody as well that you are not to share PBIC bootcamp information, marketing information that you get from me with anybody outside of the group. I mean, by all means, you know, mention to people that, you know, that if they're telling you that, like, they're not getting anywhere on Facebook, you know, you can mention to them that they should maybe think about email marketing, you know, but then they should be getting pointed towards the inner circle. This group's building onto a, you know, I mean, it's difficult for me to enforce anybody passing any information out there, but we recently had a rather funny, Carrie was telling me at the boot camp about a friend of hers who is being mentored by another pet business coach, and Carrie's friends coming to Carrie asking her stuff that she's learning here. You know, why is she doing these things? And she's copying stuff from Carrie's website that we're getting from here, which begs the question, what is she learning from the other pet business coach? apart from how to do motivational memes. But you know, so it's a difficult thing for me to enforce that we don't pass any of this information out there. But I'm not going to do that, obviously. I'm just going to trust you all and hope that you I'll be able to trust you as much as hopefully how you feel you can trust me as well. You know, with this group is building into a really special community, I think. And there needs to be a level of trust that we all adhere to. I hope you know you can trust me with some tough things that are going on in your life, and I'm always very respectful of your privacy, so I would ask you to reciprocate that as well. We have some people in the group who are, who share things. They're going through really tough times, either with their kids or with their having divorces, or we might have their parents unfortunately passing away, all this kind of thing. And so, I do want this to be a kind of like a solace. You know, it's a place where you can come and blow off a little bit of steam. So let's build on this and continue to make it a fantastic community. What it is, I am absolutely, I'm on an absolute high at the minute about what you guys are doing, and I'm so excited for the future. Especially after the weekend that we just had as well. Yeah, so talking about some of the reading that I've been doing. Yeah, I read a lot, and I would suggest that everybody reads more. You know, I'm not suggesting that people don't learn more. if you want to get better as a business owner or a dog walker or a dog trainer or a groomer, or any kind of business either, you should be. Attempt. You should be trying to better yourself and learn more. And to me, it's a bit of a life goal, really, to try and be better and to try and reach a little bit higher, and to go to bed a little bit smarter and hopefully a little bit richer. And hopefully, I'll have helped a few more people than I did when I woke up that morning. I do firmly believe that we all should be striving to do and to learn and to be more. And not having any kind of goals in your life and coasting is a surefire way to sort of end up in some kind of decline, I think, or to, it's really easy when you haven't got a goal to find that you, if not you're declining, you feel pretty stagnant, don't you? Straight away. You don't have to stand still very long to get chilly, I think. That's probably the analogy I'm going to use, all of us dog owners will know when you head out with a dog in the winter, as long as you get wrapped up, once you've been walking for about 20 minutes a decent pace, like bingo, like your heart's moving and stuff. But you don't have to stand still very long to start feeling a little bit chilly. And the same with your business. If you're not, yes, we all should be, we all need to have breathers now and again. We all need to have breathers even during the day. No one should be working full on non-stop every single minute of every single hour of every single day. But we should be, we should always be striving and thinking of the next thing. And because why should we be doing this? Well, this is a trait of successful people, right? Among the many books that I've been reading lately, I've also read a lot of autobiographies, a lot of good stuff by Jean Landrum as well, who's done some case studies on successful people, successful men and women throughout the ages. And there's a common trait with these famous people, is that they don't, well, a few common traits. They don't take no for an answer, all right? And they're really good at getting shit done. They're persistent. And the main thing about them is that they don't accept any limits on where their future is heading. All right, there's a couple of examples that I'm going to share with you. Arnold Schwarzenegger, there's a fantastic autobiography, about Arnold Schwarzenegger called Total Recall, and which is the name of obviously one of his films. And Arnold's story is really quite incredible. I mean, you might know him now as the sort of cigar smoking, Hummer driving, Californian state leader, but his actual story, his whole story is pretty unbelievable, And yeah, Arnold was blessed with some amazing genetics. But the drive and the determination and the unwillingness to accept that he could take his career as far as he wanted it to go, From being, just growing up as like a little puny bodybuilder in Austria, to traveling to America on his own, and and busting a gut there at competitions, and traveling here and everywhere, writing. Arnold published a couple of books. He has property investments. He's always been like, I was blown away by the amount of work that he did. Yeah, not talent that he had or luck or anything like that. The amount of work that he put in, and the amount of different disciplines that he got good at, in order to get him like where he is, where he's got to today. And I mean, Arnold's just one example. There's I recently read P.T. Barnum's. An autobiography about P.T. Barnum, and his was another one, where he, these people, a lot of these people start off with like absolutely nothing, and they somehow manage to build up businesses, big businesses, successful businesses. Sometimes they lose those successful businesses. Nobody on the list of successful people has had a meteoric non-stop ride to the top. They've all had sometimes some pretty catastrophic disasters, business or personal wise. Yet they seem to somehow, a lot of them seem to be able to get it all back again. Barnum was one. Lost everything at one point, absolutely everything, and through hustling and working hard, and the main driver, this ability to not accept any limits on where his future was going and how high he could reach, in society and within his profession, drove him on again to get it all back again. And I think what I'm trying to say with this recording today is that, you guys have, as I do, you have, and I have now. We've been shown, we've gone in the looking glass kind of thing, right? We know now the proper way, the right way, the quickest, most efficient, and profitable way to grow our businesses. We know more about marketing. Yep, some people who've just joined the inner circle, you guys are just learning now. But we go through, when you go through the induction, you'll sharp get the hang of what you're supposed to be doing. And so we've got the tools, and as your, leader, if you like, I'm obsessed with getting better at what I do. I'm obsessed with becoming a better coach and a better business mentor to you guys, so that I can continue to help you in all disciplines, even things that I'm not very good at myself at the moment. I'm obsessed with that. But I'm also obsessed with becoming a success myself. So I think what I'm saying is that you have the tools now. A lot of it is going to be about like your mindset, and if you're willing to take this, to have this attitude, or to develop, even not just to have, to develop this attitude of, there are really no limits on where you can take your business, or the limits are set by you, and they're set by you alone. There are many other examples. Paul Newman's autobiography I've just read. Oprah Winfrey's another example. Margaret Thatcher, a grocer's daughter, who became prime minister. Why? In a very male-dominated profession at the time. Why did she do that? Because she wasn't prepared to accept any limits on where she could go. And sometimes these people have to be selfish. Yeah, they have to be incredibly driven, but there really are like no limits. And I think this is what I've realized over the last kind of 6 months or so. There are really no limits on where I can go. And some of the stuff that you're going to be seeing me doing over the next coming weeks, months, and years will hopefully, show you exactly what I mean by that, because I am realizing that there are no limits on where I can take my business, or what other avenues I can go down with my business. But actions speak louder than words, so God willing, I will show you this with my actions. So that all these people were driven, right? And they all had some kind of compelling goal which drove them to move forward all of the time. And the Earl Nightingale book, The Stranger's Secret, is a really worthwhile one to read, because in that book he talks about you saying to yourself, you know, I want to become this. I've got this vision for this, and then you just take steps to help you get there. Now, this isn't like this idea of having a vision is not about, it's not about like the motivational meme shit that you see, all right? It's about your vision, okay? It's about your vision for where you want to be. And you need to have a compelling vision, and you need to have a big goal, or a number of big goals, you know, a 1 year goal, a 3 year goal, a 5 year goal, so that you've got this thing that's there that you know that you want to be reaching, you know? That's like the summit, the top of the mountain that you're gonna get to no matter what. So why do these people end up being like so successful? You know, why is it easier to use the 80-20 analogy? Yeah, there's to talk about the 80-20 in success terms, and Dan Kennedy talks about this a lot as well. And there are sort of 5%, they're probably 1% of the people who's going to be uber ultra successful, of business people. There are 5% who are going to do fantastically well. There are 15% who are going to be doing, you know, pretty good, and there are 80% who are going to be doing averagely. And that's how it is all the time. This is the same if you run dog training classes. You'll see this when people come through your classes. You'll as we know, we've done 80-20 before. It might be worth us revisiting again. If people want me to, then I can do. But the idea of 80-20 is that the world always separates itself into 80-20, or a variation of 80-20, where it's, you know, 20% of the actions produce 80% of the results. All right, well, it's the same with successful people as well. So why then, why is it easier? Why is it easier for us to be pulled towards the 80% of the average people than it is for us to be pulled towards the top 15 or the top 5 or the top 1%? Right? Well, we talked about this at the boot camp on the second day of the boot camp. We talked we did a I did a whole morning talking about pricing. 2 seconds while I have a drink of water. We talked about pricing almost all morning, and promotion, and then we also touched upon money and a money mindset, and the fact that you aren't going to ever be able to charge the kind of rates that I'm pushing you to charge unless you really believe that you're worthy of it. All right, we have hang-ups from our childhood, you know. We have hang-ups from our childhood. Told the story at the boot camp about you know, things, not just things that my parents have said, but things that I probably said to my own kids even, you know, like money doesn't grow on trees, this kind of thing. And there was a comedian in the Northeast called Bobby Thompson, who he used to do an act about a stand-up routine about his life in the pit, working down the pit and working. Well, not that he did much work, but you know, Bobby was like, he was always poor, and him and his wife would do jokes about they might not travel very well because of the location, but they would say, you know, where we're going for our holidays, you know. The wife would open the window and say, where we're going for our holidays, and he would say, you know, what we'll go to Scarborough, you know, like we always do. And she would say, oh, well, why don't we fly, then we could stop at Peter Lee and refuel. Peter Lee's like just 10 miles away. And all these jokes were all about like being poor, you know. And his son used to tell his story about his son coming into the house, and his son would say to him, to his dad, "Give us a pund, give me a pound, you know, give me a pound." That means, for non-northerners, "Give me a pound." And Bobby would say, "Where's the gan, Holland? Like, where you going, Holland?" And my dad used to say that to me even, you know. If I used to say, "Can I have a pound?" My dad used to say, "Where you going, Holland?" As if to say, like, why do you need so much money, you know? what do you need so much money for? Are you gonna go abroad with it? You know, good fun when you're younger, but we all do have these like hang-ups. We have a lot of stuff going on in our head, and you know, primarily about money. But you know, a lot. I mean, I'm very blessed. I've never really. My mum and dad have been very supportive of me like my whole life. Even now, you know, they've been incredibly helpful. Are incredibly helpful with the business. I've got Beth and the kids and stuff. But I know that, you know, some people have. parents who haven't been supportive of them, or partners even who maybe haven't been supportive, so, and you've got all this kind of baggage as well, you've got all these other things going on in your head that might prevent you from being pulled towards your goal, and you need to get over that. You need to be the one who starts to think that there isn't any limits on what you can achieve, because most of us are happy to improve ourselves like a little or somewhat until like we are comfortable, but then we coast. We were like this too, like me and Beth, we got together. I was 18, she was 21. I was at college, she was at uni, and she fell pregnant with our Alex after about like a couple of months of us being together, and fortunately for me, she was like the love of my life and stuff, and so we ended up we got a council house together, and we didn't have a pot to piss in, we were getting like food parcels from my mum and dad, and I think I even signed on for a couple of weeks, but that there's but like through like hard work and stuff, we didn't want to be there, you know what I mean? We didn't want to be there. We wanted to pull ourselves out of that, and we did. And she got a teaching degree, and then I sort of did various jobs with the singing and teaching, dancing, and stuff like that, and then with the sales rep job, and we pulled ourselves out of it, bought our own house, paid it off, and then and but then we started to coast again, but which is fine sometimes. It's okay to coast sometimes. Yeah, we all need a bit of coasting, to catch a breath and just to like enjoy life, but that I suppose that feeling of coasting, we weren't really happy with it, and so I left my job and started the business, and again this happened, so what happened was I left my job with Imperial Tobacco, where I was earning like a good wage, bonuses, all the bit. And my goal was to work really hard. My first goal was to get to was to earn 100 quid a week. That was my first goal from the dog business. And then after that, I just ploughed on until I wanted to earn or surpass what I'd earned in my previous job, and I managed to do that within like 18 months, which was to 2 years, which was like amazing to me. I mean, I was working a lot more hours, but I was enjoying it still. But even then I started to coast again, Then I'd hit the sort of ceiling that the self-imposed ceiling that I supposed I'd set for myself, rather than thinking, well, you've gone from nothing to this now, what's to stopping you from doubling it again? Your wages, Well, the only thing that's stopping you from doubling it again is you, isn't it? The only thing that was stopping me from doubling it again was me, and I've had to go on a bit of a journey myself, goal setting and changing how the business works and bringing staff in and all this kind of thing to enable me to put things in place to kick my business on and to build a business that's much more easily scalable and stuff. But you have to get comfortable. You have to get uncomfortable. You have to be uncomfortable with your position and feel like you really want to kick on. And at the same time, talking about pricing for a second, you also have to be comfortable charging X, because if whatever it is that you want to charge, whatever that number is that you need to charge to get you to your goal, you need to be comfortable charging that, because if you aren't comfortable saying it and charging it, then the client ain't gonna be comfortable paying it. I guarantee it, and it's got very little to do with the service, the add-ons, the bells and whistles, and all this kind of thing. But it's got most of it to do with like what's going on in your head. So that's one of the reasons why we're kind of pulled towards the average, all right? That is external forces, if you like, and our own past experience. And the second reason, or another reason, is that we don't have a compelling enough goal that's going to drive us forward towards that figure or that lifestyle that we crave. All right, and your fortune is dictated by your circumstance. Your fortune is not dictated, I should say, by your circumstances. All right. Yeah, some people have bad luck, and like you said, some people some people are going through some really tough times at the minute. I know they are in the inner circle. You know, I really appreciate the messages I get sometimes. People say, oh, Dom, you know, I know I've got a bit quiet, but like this has happened and this has happened. And I just say, hey, no problem. Keep your head in your family game, get that sorted. And then when you're ready to get back on the horse, get back in it and we'll help you kick on again, you know? I'm not talking, that's totally fine, all right? But this, that aside, you know, bad injury and misfortune aside, you know, there's no such thing as like bad luck, all right? Because as we've seen before with like these famous people, famous successful people, I should say, you know, many of them have the ability to lose everything and then to get it all back again and then some, you know? Well, so we can't just blame circumstance, all right? And, you know, you guys will know many people, as I do, some of my own family members even, you know, who are absolutely fucking born idle, you know. They're the laziest people and they're always ill for some reason. I'm not talking about a genuine illness here, but they're always at the doctor's for a cold or something like that. They're always off work or they're always, you know, and like, I can't get my fucking head around it, do you know what I mean? Because, you know, we all have, and they're basically putting they're blaming other people for their problems all the time. And, you know, we do need to have some accountability where we take responsibility for what's happening to us, and which would lead us to taking responsibility for our goal, you know, for our goal and our vision, and which is going to drive us forwards. Because the fact is that it doesn't certainly in Western civilization where we live now, it doesn't take a lot of brains for you to be able to make a living, all right, and reach like a plateau of security, okay, where you, and for each of us, that plateau of security will sit at a different level in our consciousness. But it doesn't take that much to reach this level of feeling like, oh, do you know what, I feel reasonably comfortable now, okay. And rightly or wrongly, we fear change of that, you know. We fear the change of moving out of the secure zone, because we don't know what's going to come next. But partly because we're frightened of losing what we've got, but partly because we don't know what it's like to be at that next level, you know. And that scares us as well. And so this, whatever your reasons are, this fear of failure stops us from moving forward and trying something new. This is why it's very important to surround yourself with people who are ambitious and forward thinking and who want to get on as well, you know, and people who are goal and money driven, or they're improvement driven, you know, and they're people who want to get on. I mean, this was a big thing that's come out from the testimonials from the boot camp, is that almost to a woman, everybody has said that, you know, one of the main things they got out of the boot camp was spending time with people who felt like them and who wanted the same things that they did, wanted the same kind of successes, you know, because being a business owner and an entrepreneur is a really lonely place. And it's crucial that you, depending on how strong your actual compass is to pull you towards your goal, it's crucial that you surround yourself with people who are going to help you and support you and kick you up the arse when you're not doing anything and put an arm around you when you're having a bit of a tough time of it, you know. And this is what I was talking about at the start, about where we're getting to with the inner circle. To me, the inner circle is that place where you come, that other place. It's the place where I want it to be the place where you know you can come and let off a bit of steam, or to tell people what you're planning for your business. Because if I can guarantee you now, and I hope you all believe this, but if you come into the inner circle, if you have an idea for a business venture that you want to try, and you come into the inner circle, you know, unless it's an absolute clanger, then you're going to get people supporting you and giving you suggestions and giving you advice on how you can do it. You know, whereas, you know, telling our partners about it, or telling our friends about it even, or our parents, you know, we're unlikely, I'm not saying it's never going to happen, because sometimes we do have supportive partner even, but, you know, we all fear change, you know, we fear change for other people as well. So it's really, really important that you surround yourself with people who are on the same page as you, you know, who are going to lift you up, and this, they're not going to be like this crabs in a bucket mentality, all right? They're not going to really set any limits. You should be the only one who sets the limits on you, and your limit should be way higher than what you think it is now. You know, your goal should be way higher than what you think it is now. And another reason why you want to surround yourself with people and why you need to have a really strong goal is something I was reminded of this. I think I read it in Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek, and it's something that boxers say, and any kind of fighter says. And it is that everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face, right? So they can have the boxer can have the best game plan in the world, but when he gets punched in the face, like that doesn't necessarily all go out the window, but like plan changes then, doesn't it? You know, because once you've been punched in the face, your eyes are watering, you're feeling groggy, and your confidence has been knocked a little bit, and you don't, you know, you aren't the person that you were before you got punched in the face. All right, and in business, yeah, you're going to get punched in the face as well. All right, things are going to go wrong. And certainly, the more complex your business is, the more opportunity there's going to be for things to go wrong, or the opportunity there's going to be for things to go wrong in a big way. And not even things going wrong, particularly, not even waiting until things go wrong, but even just once you start. You know, once you start a task, you know, if you come into the group with it, or if you have an idea for a service or a new price level of services that you're going to offer, or a new arm to the business, like you can plan it as much as you want to plan it, but everything changes when you actually start it. I found this over the years. You know, it was the same when I did the store, which was a bit of a disaster for me. But then with my dog training in a circle, with my pet business coaching, with the boot camps and stuff that, you know, when you start planning these things, yeah, you can make all the best plans in the world, and you should be making plans for sure. You should be, you know, writing down these things. We're going to come on to that in a minute about writing down your goals and stuff. But there's, you know, everything changes once you start. You'll know this yourself from your own business, you know. You thought X, Y, and Z was going to happen, but actually E, D, and F happened, you know. Z might have happened a little bit, but the main thing that happened was E, D, and F, which you didn't have a clue. That wasn't even coming onto your radar, you know. So this, you have to maintain this ability to kind of roll with the punches, which is, and you also have to have a plan as well to deal with things going wrong. But what you really have to have is you have to have this compelling goal, all right? This that's going to pull you forward all the time. Yeah, so pricing, we've talked about that. So yeah, we just go back over to the point that I talked about first. The first point, which was about the income level, you know, the income level that we believe we're able to charge. And we talked about this at the boot camp. Everybody had some really good inputs. I was sort of motivated to talk about it through the because the Sunday Times Sunday Times top 100 rich list was published last weekend, and it was the first time ever that the rich list was made up of mainly 80% of self-made millionaires, you know, people who had started businesses or and made fortunes and then sold the businesses or whatever, rather than people who had inherited the wealth, you know, or inherited the businesses and stuff. And so the potential for us all is to take our businesses wherever we want to go. And I'm going to be touching more upon this about I did at the boot camp, and this is going to be something that I'm going to be hammering with the platinum people, and the really going. Obviously, we're able to go into much more detail because we meet up more often. But this idea that you are able, and you should be, you know, attempting to luxify and premiumify your business, you know, and take it to like another level that. Of service, you're probably already offering the service, but another level of class of customer that are able to pay you a lot more. And we'll talk about why that's important in a minute. We'll finish off with that. But we, because we all have like fears and doubts about charging what we want, you know. And a lot of this comes down to our attitude about money and what we think about the rich and famous. All right, so here's something to think about now. You know, what is your current attitude? Thinking about what I've just talked about with the rich list and stuff. What is your current attitude to the rich and the famous? More so the rich than the famous. I would much rather be rich than famous. You know, do you think that they're lucky in any way or fortunate? Should they are they be mo are they should they be mocked? You know, should they be vilified for being rich? Or dismissed as being privileged in some way. There was a I read out this piece at the boot camp actually, but on the Sunday Times list, there was one comment which said that, which was sort of rejoicing in the fact that, quite rightly I think, that the list was made up of these self-made millionaires, you know, who've like worked really hard, and then there was a Labour Party spokesman who had a comment along the lines of, you know, I think that your man in the street, your average man in the street, will be sickened by the levels of wealth, and this is something that, you know, the Labour Party will be looking to rectify and claw back some of this money from the privileged people, you know, and that, you know, that is a toxic attitude to take, you know. And if you're thinking a similar thing, then you are really getting in your own way when it comes to being able to earn the kind of money that you want to earn from your business, because your attitude to, you know, the rich pay more tax, you know, they give a lot of their money away. Yeah, there's going to be a couple of bad rich people for sure, but guess what? There's a couple of bad poor people as well, you know. So it's really important that we get out of our own way. And you know, my attitude now and has been for some time now is one of like really studying these people. You know, I'm reading one of the books I'm reading at the moment. Where is it? I'm reading a book about Donald Trump by George Ross, who was Trump's chief negotiator. And there's some brilliant lessons in there about, you know, how he thought big and getting it done, and that. And whether you like Trump or whether you don't like Trump is regardless. And I'm not particularly keen on him, but like there's still things that you can learn, you know. And you know, all these people, Steve Jobs, different people, you know, because to me, you should be, if you want to be like them, if you want to, if you then you need to be somehow not just admiring them, but you should in some way be wanting to be like that, you know, and modeling your behavior on theirs and thinking, what can I do? What can I learn from this person who I want to be like? What are they doing in their business, in their life? What behaviors are they exhibiting every day that have enabled them to build this amazing thing that, you know, and whilst it's a completely different thing and I'm a completely different person, what can I learn from them that's going to pull me forward towards my goal? Because one of the lessons that you get from The Stranger's Secret is that we become what we think about. All right, this is why that's why I'm kind of obsessed with studying about business, you know, because I'm obsessed with becoming not just hopefully a better mentor and coach to you guys, but I'm obsessed with bettering myself as well, you know, and reaching an income goal that I've set for myself. And it's not a particularly huge income goal, but I suppose looking through the lens of my own life and my family and sort of what's expected of me, it's like way above that. And then when I hit that one, I'll have the confidence and the drive to push on to another one, you know. But I'm not wasting energy and time knocking other people. Or worrying about things that can't affect me and are going to pull me away from my goal. You know, this comes back to the point I made at the very start of the call about, you know, the people who you're watching, their attitudes and stuff. And if it's pulling you away from your compelling vision, your compelling goal, if it's moving you away from the tasks that you know that you need to complete to move you further towards your goal, then, you know, you're making life doubly hard for yourself. All right, you should be focusing on and thinking about your own problems and coming up with solutions to fix them. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to set yourself a definite goal. Set yourself a big goal. Have a vision. What kind of business do you want to have in 2 years' time? And then that's going to pull you towards it. All right. Like I said, you've got the tools in this group to do the marketing and the premium pricing and all the bit and the positioning, all the bit to do it. But it's got to start with you. It's got to start with you having that goal. You should buy up. You should definitely write that goal down. We'll probably do a bit of work in the next webinar about writing it down. Having like a maybe it's a 5 year goal, a 1 year goal, and then chunking it down into 3 month goals. It's very much what we do in Platinum Radio, but in just in more detail all the time. But you should definitely be writing this down because and referring back to it regularly. And sharing it with somebody if you want to, but mainly it's sharing it for the accountability factor, really. But if you're going to share it for the accountability factor, you need to be sharing it with people who are going to keep you accountable, which is why we have these coaching, which is why I'm developing the different levels of coaching group, and there's more to come in the future as well. But you really do need to do this. This is something that I've been doing lately as well. And I don't mind sharing some stuff with you in the group if people want to hear more about it as well. But money is, money, an income level is a good goal. It's very, very measurable. And you can pretty easily work out what you need to do to earn that money. So if your income goal was like 50 grand, well, I'll get my calculator out because you guys know I'm not so good with numbers. Where am I at? Calendar, ca calendar? No, calculator, Dominic. Concentrate. So let's say that your goal was, let's just do hundreds, that'll be easier. Let's say your goal was 100 grand. Yeah, divided by 12 is 8 grand a month. So if we did half that would be 4 grand, wouldn't it? That'd be £4,100 a month, which is about £1,000 a week. All right, then you need to work it out. Then you can work out. How many training sessions you need to do, or how many dog walks you need to do, or how many grooms you need to do, just divided by that amount what you need. Yeah, and then obviously hopefully you'll be have different levels of service and you'll have upsells and stuff. But you can get to your whatever your income goal is at the moment. And I would suggest we all have one that we want to go for. It's You can get to 30,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 a year a lot faster if you're charging 50 quid a walk or 300 quid a training session or 100 quid a groom than you can if you're only charging 10 quid a walk or 50 quid a training session or 100 or 50 quid a groom. This transaction size matters. So you can pretty easily work out. I'm not saying it's easy to get this, mind. Obviously, you're going to have to put some work in to get there, but then it becomes a question of right, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to my business to make it into a business that I feel like I can that charges 100 quid a groom, or that charges £500 for a bundle or £1,000 for a bundle of training sessions. Because if you're charging £1,000 for a bundle of training sessions and coaching sessions with your dog training clients, you want to get to 50 grand. Well, you only need to do 50 of them a year, don't you? It's just one a week. Again, I'm not saying it's just going to happen overnight, but this is where it starts with the goal, And this month, this I'd this knowing your numbers and knowing what your numbers need to be, knowing what your transaction size needs to be. This is really important because some people. So in some people's businesses, the maths doesn't work at all, and no matter how much you're going to work, you're going to be unable to reach a really meaningful income goal. Or even if you do reach a meaningful income goal, you're going to be too tired to spend it because of all the hours that you've put in to get to where you want to be. Okay, so I would like everyone to really think about their goals. Like I said, we're going to be going into more detail about this in the coming months. But think about what your goals. Think about what you want your business to look like. How many hours do you want to be working? Where do you want to be? Who do you want to be with? What What does it look like? You know, what does the vision look like? And there's a quote in a book, which I can't lay my hands on right now. But here it is. But I think it's the vision of where you want your business to go. It's a Paul Arden quote. The vision of where you want your business to grow, not your business. The vision of where you want to be is the biggest asset you'll ever have. All right. So without any vision, without any goals, you ain't never going to move forward. Okay. So please spend some time this month, today, tonight, as you're driving around, thinking about your goals, thinking about your vision for where you want your business to be, for what you want to become. And please aim high with this, all right? Because the chances are that you are gonna, well, you might not. Hopefully, you'll completely blast through it. But for God's sake, aim high. Aim higher than you're thinking of it before you listen to this training, okay? And by all means, we can share some stuff in the group if you like, or we can talk about it on a call. But it's, you really do become what we think about. And I'm noticing this more and more now. You know, money to me now isn't a zero-sum game. You know, there isn't only so much money out there that I can earn, because if I earn more, it means that somebody else doesn't get it. That's not how I'm thinking now. I'm thinking that this money that I've earned has been well earned, reputably earned, and you know, it's to be invested or it's to be spent, because there's lots more money out there that I'm able to earn tomorrow and the next day and the next day. All right, but we all of us really need to be aiming a lot higher. For where we want to go, what we want to do, and what we want our business to look like. You know, you might want to have a completely different business. You know, you might work with dogs now, but your dream job, your absolute dream job, might have been to work on a safari or something in Africa. You know, that might be, well, you know, make that your goal again. Yeah, and then work out what can I do with what do I need to do with my business to pull me towards this a level of security where I can go and pursue that dream, you know? Or maybe you could do safaris on your dog walks. Yeah, so that's so hope this has been useful, guys. I've tried to do something a little bit different. I just hope it really makes you think. And you know, as I said at the start, you know, this group's all about trust. I've been very honest and open about stuff that's happened to me in my life on this call, and you know, my own goals and my own sort of mindset change that I've had over the last 6 months to a year. And trust me, the more that I've been studying what I'm studying and modeling myself on the way the people run their businesses, and I've got a long way to go yet, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm fucking nowhere near where I want to be, but it's starting to change upstairs for me now, and the results will hopefully continue to feed through into the business and stuff, you know. But it has to change upstairs first. I'm talking about in your brain, you know. So listen to this CD many, many times if you need to. I know we always like listening to the CDs, and really sort of start to dream, start to think about some big goals, and dream some big dreams. And the more you think about it, the more it will become a reality for you. You know, more it will be, certainly it will become that thing that pulls you towards where you want to be, and pulls us closer to that 15% or that 5% or that 1% right at the top who are doing the best. You know, not because they were the most talented, not because they were lucky, not because they had a helping hand along the way. But because they had this compelling goal that constantly pulled them a little bit further forward all the time. And yeah, that's what I'm wanting for myself, and that's what I'm wanting for you guys too. So that's it for me today. Peace out, boys and girls. Get stuck into the ledger. Get stuck into this CD again and the one that's come with it. And I shall see you all inside the PBIC discussion group. Bye-bye.